The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, as we all know, there's no doubt that food prices have gone up pretty dramatically. But the culprits, according to the CCPC, are not fat cat supermarket bosses. If anything, the state agency comes dangerously close to suggesting that supermarkets have protected consumers from price hikes being pushed by one of Ireland's most important sectors, the farmers. But is that really the case? Well, joining me to talk about this is the president of the Irish Creamery and Milk Suppliers Association, Dennis Drennan, and the deputy editor and columnist for the Irish Times, John McManus. Good morning and welcome. John, you've been writing about this in the paper. Tell me, what exactly is the contention of the CCPC?
Well, the CCPC was asked by the government there earlier in the summer to revisit some work it had done a few years ago on what was driving food price inflation and whether it was lack of competition in the supermarket sector. And they did that, and they came back last week saying that, if anything, in their view, the competition was increasing in the supermarket sector, and they used an index, something called of concentration, and concluded on the basis of that we have moderate competition here. And they then sort of followed on, if you like, into what was driving food prices and if it wasn't gouging by supermarkets. And they looked at, if you like, the prices charged by the agricultural sector that it sells its food for, and then the prices that it pays for its inputs. So the margin, if you like, between what they buy and what they buy their inputs for and what they sell. And they concluded that that had gone up substantially, up by 19.3% over the last year, and that was well ahead of European price increases. And they obviously didn't go, their state agents didn't go so far as to conclude that that was what was the main driver of food price increases, but they could have left it there, obviously,
John, one of the issues, I suppose, is that farmers have always been seen, rightly or wrongly, as price takers rather than price makers. In other words, they have to accept whatever the supermarket chains offer them or the co-ops offer them for their produce, whatever it is. They are told, this is as much as we can afford, this is all you're getting. Are you saying that's changed and that now the farmers are in the driving seat?
No. I mean, I guess nobody's ever met a farmer who said they were making money, but the CCPC doesn't go into that. There's obviously another whole issue around how pricing works in the agricultural sector, but they're just actually pointing to two sort of sets of facts, which is that input prices fell 4.6% last year in Irish agriculture, and input and output prices, i.e. what farmers were charging, went up 19.3%, which is well ahead of the European average, which was 2.6%. So obviously margins are increasing substantially in the sector. Now, whether farmers are the true beneficiaries of that, or whether it's the other companies in the chain, that they don't go into, and I guess that's perhaps something.
Okay, and I mean, obviously there might be a number of different elements in any product getting onto the shelf, whether it's a wholesaler or whether it's a co-op, whatever that might be. Anyway, the other thing, they didn't have any transparency about the Irish profits of some of these international chains. They couldn't tell, for example, how much money Tesco made proportionately in Ireland per head of population compared to Britain, and whether or not that was significant. But you probably know, John, that the rumour is that Ireland is known to the foreign supermarket owners as Treasure Island. So much money to be made here.
Well, there is no clarity. There is no clarity about who the profitability of the biggest player, Dunstores, who 23%. So it's really hard to answer that question as to whether it's particularly profitable here. They do point to, there's a number of geographical factors about Ireland that make it an expensive place to do business, and I'm sure that's something that the supermarket chains would agree with.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we have maybe more expensive real estate in places. We certainly have higher insurance costs and so on and so forth. They will point to all of those. Higher energy, wages, all of that. Higher minimum wage, perhaps. All right, John, thank you very much for outlining that. Dennis Drennan, what do you say in response, that the farmers are the culprits, not the supermarket chains?
Well, good morning, Pat. Unfortunately, the price that we sell our food for is almost irrelevant at this point in time. We live off the margin, not off the actual price. And if you look at where we've been for the last 30 years, our margin is actually pretty much the very same now as it was 30 years ago, albeit that the price that we sell our product for has gone up considerably, thankfully, because our costs have grown exponentially, like the same as everybody else with their household budgeting, like the cost of our fuel, electricity, gas, fertilizer, feed, all those things have gone up exponentially since the invasion of Ukraine. And that's what really has put pressure on the system, that our input costs are up. Like, our margin is pretty much still the same. Like, the transparency, I suppose, that's within the food chain is it's very transparent until it leaves the farm gate, and then it becomes into a hazy muddle as regards who gets what, because it's anybody with a calculator and 5 minutes on the internet can look up Lakeland, Glanbia, Dairy Gold, Tierlawn, any of those co-ops and see that we're basically getting about 50 cent a litre for our milk. The cost of production, if you spend another 5 minutes on the Chagas website, will show you that it costs somewhere between 40 and 42 cent per litre to produce a litre of milk at the moment, with both in economic cost and the environmental cost. And I think that's something that the consumer needs to be made aware of. Like, where it sounds great to have all these environmental regulations heaped on food producers, and we're certainly happy to do our part as regards, you know, climate change and you know, cooling down the climate or avoiding heating up the climate is probably what we're trying to do.
Okay.
But that comes at a cost.
Yeah, just looking at your basic costs or what you get, the price you get between 40 and 42 cent, okay? And
that's the cost of production.
That's raw milk leaving you.
The cost, we're getting about 50 cent per litre for the milk leaving us. It's costing us between 40 and 42 to produce that litre of milk.
Okay, now after that, it's raw milk at that point. It's got to go to the dairy. It's got to be pasteurised and homogenised and packed, of course, and then transported.
Absolutely. There's a huge range of cost between the farm and the supermarket shelf.
So we can see that there would certainly be added value in those processes that are conducted by the co-ops or the dairies. And then it goes hazy, isn't that it?
Yeah, it goes into either central distribution, or some of the co-ops would have an arrangement with the individual supermarkets where they would actually put it on the shelves on behalf of the supermarket. So then it becomes hazy. And it's the same with all other products. Like, we just don't want to focus just on milk, if it's cheese or butter or if it's beef or lamb. Like, it's, you know, there's a processor in the middle who has to obviously process the food from the condition it leaves the farm in, and then it has to be presented to the consumer. And, you know, it is a complete distribution chain involved in all of that. Like, so there's various costs along the way. The Ag Food Regulator was set up by the government about 2 years ago to give transparency to the food chain, but doesn't have the required powers. And it's something that the Ag Food Regulator is currently looking for. It's more powers from the government to actually get full transparency of the food chain. And that's something we'd support, because at our end, at farmer level, we it's fully transparent at our side, like between both Chagas and the co-ops and the meat factories, as far as what they're getting for their product.
But tell me this, John, or Dennis, tell me about the nature of the deals that you do. I mean, are you, as I suggested, price takers usually rather than price makers, that you can't say, I want 65 cent a litre for my milk, that they will offer you 50 and you take it or leave it? Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I got up this morning at 6 o'clock to milk cows. Cows are milk is in the tank. Every second night, the co-op sends a driver with a lorry to collect my milk. It then goes into the processor and it goes along the food chain. But I actually won't know what price I'm getting for that milk until about 6 weeks' time. This is August now. It'll be about the 20th of August before I will realise the price I get for the milk that's gone through my co-op.
Why is that? I mean, if you're letting the goods go, you'd expect to get paid at least within a day or so of the goods departing you. And why might that price vary depending on what?
It's depending on world markets, I suppose. Like, I mean, a lot of the product that we produce in Ireland here ends up, you know, 90% of what we produce. We're an extremely economically and sustainable country for producing both beef, dairy and lamb because of our grass growth in this country. So we have a huge opportunity to sustainably produce food in this country that's sought after all over the world, with the likes of the Kerrygold brand that was being spoken of earlier on your station. So that's sought after all over the world because of its environmental credentials and the fact that it's grass-fed and it's a unique taste. So you're based on world markets. Like, I mean, you have the Dutch dairy quotations that come out every 2 weeks, and the global dairy trade for commodities that happen every 2 weeks as well. And
so do you get the price that existed today in that index, or will they give you whatever exists in 6 weeks' time? Which
it's probably like they wait until the end of the month and see what the average price that the market returned for the month, and then you get that price. So you've no choice. You have a fresh product, I suppose, Pat. So, I mean, you can't say to them, well, I'm holding on to this milk until we agree a price. It has to just go into the process, because the milk that I produced this morning is probably going to be on the supermarket shelf, or, you know, made into butter or cheese within the next 2 to 3 days.
So they have you over a barrel in that sense?
Pretty much, like, and it's the same with beef animals or with lambs. If lambs become fit for slaughter, and there's a certain point that, you know, if they become over fat, you know, the consumer then ends up with that they don't want a fat lamb chop or a fat piece of steak. So, you know, once the animal becomes fit, it kind of has to be slaughtered because it's ready for market at that point in time. And look, there is a shortage of food at the moment. So, I mean, this thing that the farmer is creaming it at the moment is certainly not the case. We have a huge challenge facing our sector at the moment that younger people don't want to enter our sector. So if it was as lucrative as people make out to become a farmer, we'd say we're more than welcome for anybody else to join the sector, because we certainly need young people entering the sector. And
Now, maybe you can't answer this question, but it intrigues me. I go into my local service station and I see what would be categorised as own brand milk side by side with one of the big brands, and the price differential is quite remarkable for the same quantity of milk. And I'm wondering, how does that come to be? Because, there might be added this and added that, vitamins and so on, but, you know, precious little difference in the taste of the milk and the functionality of that milk for whatever I might want to do with it, tea, coffee, cereal, baking, whatever it might be, it seems pretty much the same, and yet the price differential can be very dramatic.
I suppose it's the same as any other product that you might tend to go into your supermarket and buy. You have own label brands and then you have premium brands, and it's like Kerrygold butter is sought after all over the world because of its unique taste and creaminess. And then you have other butters that are available that just are not the same. Excuse me. So, I mean, it's like any premium product. Like, you can buy a Mercedes, that's a car that will get you from A to B, or you can buy a cheaper brand. I won't name any brands because they'll upset somebody. And you can buy a cheaper brand that will still get you from A to B, but maybe with not the same the same efficiency or the same style and the same comfort. Like, so there's premium brands, and I suppose, look, at those premium brands have been built over years. If we take Avonmore Milk, it's probably one of the most recognised brands in the country. I think it's always in the top 10 because of its stability, of the quality and the taste of the product. Like, so, I mean, you have premium brands and you have basic brands, I suppose, and so a lot of people are willing to pay for the consistency of flavour and quality of the premium brands.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much for joining us. Dennis Drennan, who is the president of the Irish Creamery and Milk Suppliers Association. Lots of comments coming in on this topic. People are obviously feeling the effects on their wallets of food prices, but farmers not always getting blamed. I'm farming 95 acres. We do not set any prices on anything. It's completely wrong. For the first time ever, farmers are actually starting to get an income from the product they produce. And now we're being blamed by those who overregulate agriculture with environmental policies and food safety standards, some of which have absolutely no relevance as to how safe the food actually is. Food processors and supermarkets are the big winners in all of this. Another one, supermarkets determine the price they pay the farmers. If the supermarket has a special on lettuce, the farmer has to take the hit, not the supermarket. To blame the farmer for high prices is laughable. The mass food producers are putting their prices up and reducing their product sizes. That's the source of increased costs, which are going up nearly weekly and monthly. That's according to Mark. Look at the prices of detergent and toilet paper. These items are not from farmers. Input costs for farmers have increased threefold. Costs for farmers are making it very difficult to be producers. People now realise we need farmers and not the green agenda, says another. The price of a bottle 500 mils of water to make at the facility of manufacture is between 9 cent and 13 cent a bottle. By the time it gets to the shop, it's over €1, with no additional value added to that bottle of water. It's not a farming issue. This is retail gouging, according to Jack. And on the environment, huge environmental costs were imposed on farmers, and this has sent production costs into orbit. Policies have forced farmers to reduce stock numbers, so it was inevitable that supply would fall. Young farmers will walk away rather than work and invest huge sums of money to produce food at a loss. Top quality food was simply too cheap for too long. That's according to Ned in Meath. The urban dwellers might still fall for the farmer's poor mouth, but anyone who lives in rural Ireland can see the truth. Farmers are doing extremely well, and their wealth is obvious. Not begrudging them their wealth, but the poor farmer stories are starting to wear a little.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.